and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well today. How are you?
I'm doing great.
So I got to tell you, we are getting some emails, some inquiries from listeners with some fascinating show topics, some interesting questions.
Any of them can we handle or are they fascinating?
No. We can handle them for sure. And we'll be doing that in some upcoming episodes.
Good.
But we've also been getting some inquiries about you personally. People
my favorite topic. This is my favorite topic in all of education.
People wanting to know a little bit more about you, including sort of your background and your journey through education. I mean, this is higher ed. We talk about education and learning. So it kind of makes sense to talk a little bit about the path that you took through education to where you are today.
Well, you know, in a previous episode, I shared some reflections around graduation time where I was so naive that I thought something magical was going to happen the moment I touched my diploma. And I genuinely felt that. So, first of all, that's to give context to how naive and foolish I was and probably still remain. When I arrived as an undergraduate, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I had my future planned out, and I knew exactly what it was.
What were you going to do?
I was going to be a lawyer.
Really?
That was going to be...
I didn't know that.
Absolutely. From about middle school on, because you see all these great minds, you know, you read about Abraham Lincoln and all these people that became lawyers and so forth. I wanted to do it. Very respectable thing. Very important thing. You make a lot of money. Loved the idea of making lots of money. I thought that was great. And that was the plan. And I went into my career as an undergraduate thinking, there'll be time for fun later in life. This is where you buckle down and work. My parents were investing an enormous amount of money, and I had to take out a lot of debt so that I could go to school. We couldn't afford it otherwise. Had some financial aid as well. And so this was not time for frivolity. I was going to work. And it was interesting that by the time, and I should say, by the way, you know, I'm teaching a class right now on effective thinking and creative puzzle solving. Had the students write a reflection on how their journey mirrors the journey of the Little Prince from the book, Little Prince from St. Exupéry. And one student wrote the exact essay that a young Ed Berger would have written.
Oh, yeah.
This is for work. And da-da-da. By the time I became a senior, I had evolved or devolved my thinking. And I realized that, in fact, the book learning wasn't nearly as important as learning how human beings are. And the way that I thought about it by the time I was a senior was that I could always go under a tree with a book like Newton and read something and learn it. But this was the only opportunity to really live with lots of people from all sorts of different experiences, a very diverse population of human beings all around my age, plus or minus 10 years, let's say. And to engage and learn about them and learn about myself, this was one of the few opportunities. And so when I started as an undergraduate, I would say to myself about 80% was going to be hard work and toil and awfulness, and 20% or so would be fun. And by the time I graduated, I thought it was the other way around. 20% book learning, which you can always do, and then 80% engaging with human beings and trying to figure out how you're going to find your voice. And of course, as a result, one thing I did was realize that I still wanted to learn math. I majored in math, by the way, not, you know, pre-law.
Was it a class or a teacher or just a gradual sort of awakening to that switch, that 80-20 switch?
I never thought of that before. It was probably a combination of a bit of gradual awakening, a bit of maturity. I would say that for me, my first year of college was basically a condensed 4 years of high school in terms of maturity for me. I'm a slow learner, so it took me an extra year to get all that high school stuff.
Well, that was your lower ed time.
That was my
lower
ed. Yeah, I had a radio show. Actually, I had a radio show in college. It was not called Lower Ed, but it was called Ed's Place. But I think that it was a slow, gradual process, and it was also through the professors I engaged. I took some philosophy courses that were impactful, some literature courses that were impactful, and even through my own math courses that were profoundly impactful, obviously, I would say that they challenged me in good ways. And then my engagement with my colleagues, my friends, my colleagues who were students, I learned a lot from them, and they are very impactful teachers, sometimes for good and sometimes for bad. And in my case, I was very fortunate to have good teachers there.
Okay, so as a practical matter, you made this change, kind of had this realization as an undergraduate, but you were thinking law school.
Yes.
Now you're thinking math. So, and obviously now you're president of a university, so you must have had a path through more higher ed after undergraduate. You had to go to grad school.
And by the way, this is an example where I think my undergraduate education, which was a liberal arts education, really served me well. Because as I think we talked about in our last season, in my mind, the point of education is to mess things up, mm-hmm. to mess up the plans of what you plan to be. So this idea that I had of who a future Ed Berger was going to be when I was 17 years old was completely wrong. The fact that my education enlightened me, I thought was huge. So just for the record, I had a great liberal arts experience because it messed me up, which was the point. Now, when I left my undergraduate career, I was still going to be a lawyer. But I felt it was disingenuous to claim I had this advanced degree, a Bachelor of Arts in mathematics, when I had no idea what math was in terms of the big picture. So I wanted to keep studying math until I figured out what it was, and then I was going to go to law school. So I embarked on my graduate studies in mathematics kind of for the romantic vision of knowledge for the sake of knowledge. I was not going to do anything with it. I didn't want to be a math teacher. I didn't know what a math professor was. I didn't know what a mathematician was. And you can't make money doing solving equations. So I was going to law school after math.
So you were just going to do math for fun and love of math.
Yes, which is how everyone should do everything in their lives, especially their education. It should be joyful. So I went into graduate school just, you know, hey, I'm doing this. And when it's no longer fun, I'm going to go to law school.
You're an advocate then, obviously, for grad school, because it must have served you well because you stayed on the math path, if you can call it that, and not the law path, right?
Am I an advocate for graduate school? I have to say that no, publicly, when I'm engaged, not publicly, but
okay,
when
this is in public, by the way.
Oh, then maybe, can we erase that last thing? But when I'm mentoring students, I actually try to play, you know, on your shoulder sometimes there's like the little good guy saying things, and then there's the bad person saying things. Uh-huh. I'm always the bad person. I try to talk people out of graduate school.
Why?
Not that I'm against it.
Yeah.
But I try to talk them out of it because I think many people go in there for the wrong reasons.
They go at the wrong time? Or
no. Maybe at the wrong time.
What are those wrong reasons?
But the wrong reason is family pressure. Career pressure. You know, you will become a doctor. You will become a lawyer. You will become an accountant, or you will become a business person. Or a naivety as to what they're getting themselves into. And the truth is, graduate school, no matter what the discipline, no matter what the degree, is really hard. An undergraduate baccalaureate degree is hard. But graduate school is really hard because it's really focused. You no longer have that breath and that kind of wonderful sense of all the ideas of human thought at your foot. But instead, now it's about focusing in and being disciplined. I mean, you're focusing on discipline. You're being disciplined. It's very hard. Mathematics is extremely difficult. At least it was for me, almost impenetrable. And you have to be able to commit to that. And so what I try to do when I am mentoring students, and this is very anti the academy, so I hope my colleagues aren't listening. I try to talk them out of it. And if I can talk you out of going to graduate school, Jennifer, then you really shouldn't go. If I can't talk you out of it, then you really should go. So I will say to a student, suppose there was a law that said that no one can go to graduate school. Why should we make an exception in your case?
And they have to make the case.
Make the case. Now, if they're just saying, well, I know this is what I should be doing for whatever reason. It's my career, my vocation. Okay, I'm going to push really hard on you. If you come back, I shouldn't give the correct answer, because then if any students are listening, they'll know how to respond. But there's an honor code at Southwestern, so they can't lie. If they say to me, I can't live without engaging in these ideas. I will be a less of a person. I will be a shell of myself. I'm going to be empty. I have to pursue this. It's my passion. I need to know this. There's a curiosity, you know, burning inside of me. Well, then that's interesting.
That's a place to start.
That's a place to start.
All right. Well, I have a graduate degree. I have a master's in radio, television, and film. So I feel qualified to take on this week's Puzzler.
Oh, great.
Because I worked hard in school. I hope I'm qualified. Lay it on us. What is this week's
as
fresh
long
puzzler?
As you have the credential, that's all that matters. In fact, that should be a future topic. All right. I've got a good one for you.
Okay. I'm ready.
It's called Who's Who?
Who's Who? Okay.
There's a question and then there's a little silly bonus.
Oh, great. I'm ready.
Here we go. So one afternoon on a college campus over 100 miles from Georgetown, Texas, two students, a math major and a philosophy major, were talking. And here's the conversation. I'm a math major, said the one with black hair.
Okay.
I'm a philosophy major, said the one with red hair.
Okay.
Given that at least one of these two students is lying, what hair color does the math major have?
Okay. You said at least one of the two students,
given
right?
Given that at least one of these students is lying.
Okay.
What hair color does the math major have?
Does the math major have?
Mm-hmm. So remember the little dialogue between the math major and the philosophy right. major went like this. I'm a math major, said the one with black hair. I'm a philosophy major, said the one with red hair.
Okay.
Given that at least one of these students is lying, what color hair does the math major have?
Why does it matter where they were talking? You made a point of
and
saying 100.
This is why you got that advanced degree. You just gave great pride to your alma mater because that's the bonus question. What does the location have to do with this question is the fun, silly bonus.
Okay.
But look at you, listening. This is why you're such a great... newscaster is because you listen very, very closely.
All right. So in previous episode, we talked about sort of going with your gut versus reasoning through something. Yes. I have written down my gut answer.
Oh, do you want to share it with us?
No. No, I will share it.
I will share it next week in our next episode.
Right, yes. Okay. But I've jotted that down.
Scribble.
I've put it aside.
Let me see that for a second because it doesn't even look like handwriting.
I know. You probably can't read my handwriting. I jotted this down. So we'll check in and
see. Is that shorthand, by the way?
No, that's regular.
Do you know shorthand is a dying art?
I think writing, period.
Well, that's true.
Writing anything on paper.
In fact, we don't even
teach
script anymore.
Yeah, I know.
But I actually have someone that helps me in my office, and that person actually can write shorthand. And when I see this person write shorthand, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
To see it.
I know. It really is incredible. So, all right. So, Puzzler solution coming up in the next episode. Let's return more briefly to our discussion about graduate school. This sounds kind of controversial coming from the president of a university to say, hey, this may, you know, advanced degrees may not be for everybody.
No, I would argue it's the opposite. It shows that the president of a university is modeling open-mindedness and a willingness to think and acknowledge the fact that education is an individual thing and that every individual needs to be thought of differently and carefully, and we have to find the best fit for the future for that individual and to kind of have a stock response that everyone needs to do this or everyone needs to do that. I think is not strong. And I'll tell you that my graduate journey was not without bumps. My first year of graduate school was so painful for me that I was thinking of dropping out. In fact, I'll share with you a quick story, which is that after that first semester, it was so bad that I thought, you know what, maybe I just need to go to law school and move on and forget math. It was so hard. I felt so low. I went from being I felt like I was a good math student as an undergraduate to being the rock bottom math student as a graduate student. Probably both of those were a little bit skewed, but that's how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And your emotion is how you feel. And the question is, how do you react to that? As a very young person reacting to it, I just said, well, I'm going to drop out. And I approached a math professor and I wanted to get a master's because I'd have something for that. And I said, I'd like to get a master's under you. And he said, no, because I thought you were in the PhD program. I said, well, I am, but I'm thinking of master's. He said, well, you know, I'm a research mathematician, and working with a master's student is not as interesting as doing original research proving new theorems with PhD students. And I'd be delighted to work with you on a PhD, but not so much on a master's. And I said, oh, no. And I said, well, I really want a master's. He said, well, look, take the qualifier exams. So they had these 3-hour qualifier exams. You had to take three of them, three-hour exams. Imagine the three of the hardest math tests in the world, 3 hours each. take
party.
Those. Yeah, it's a party. Even as a math lover, they were not fun.
That's a little much.
Take those exams, he said, and when you fail them all, then you can get a master's with me.
That's a little bit like the dialogue you described having with a student who wants to go to graduate school.
Yeah, I guess in a way it is. Maybe that's where I got it from in a way. I never thought about that until you mentioned it, but I was really annoyed. I left his office not happy. But that professor changed my life because I then started doing original research with him, which I loved. I loved doing original research, proving new theorems, thinking about new ideas. And then I went back and took these qualifier exams and passed them. And he changed my life. And that's the point of education, is to change lives. And we do that one student at a time.
Hey, in a future episode, can we talk about the importance of teachers and professors?
No.
In our learning? No,
okay. We can't talk about that.
All right.
Now, of course we can. That'd be a great topic.
that sounds like a great topic.
That's the key to everything.
Well, Ed, thank you so much for helping us keep our brain sharp with these great discussions. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. If you have an idea for a topic that you'd like us to talk about, maybe you have a question, send an email. You can email me, jstaton@kut.org. That's jstaton@kut.org.
And if they're ever in Central Texas and they're in Georgetown, Texas, they should come onto the campus of Southwestern and look me up. And if I'm around, I'd love to say hi.
Yeah, give them a holler. Also, check out Southwestern at southwestern.edu and keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news at kut.org. You'll also find other episodes of Higher Ed there. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News. Jennifer.